You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Does Michigan have a nurse shortage? That question is at the heart of an ongoing push by nurse advocates and some lawmakers for a state law to set up mandatory nurse-to-patient ratios and prohibit hospitals from ordering nurses to work overtime. Dawn Kettinger is the Government Affairs Director with the Michigan Nurses Association. Dawn, is there a nursing shortage in Michigan?
That's a complicated question, and what we really need to look at is how are we doing on creating and retaining a strong nursing workforce? So the short answer is no. It's not a matter of not having enough nurses in Michigan. The big problem is that there's a shortage of nurses who are willing to work in the conditions that hospitals create.
And what are those conditions?
Chronic understaffing and excessive hours of mandatory overtime. A lot of people don't realize that there is no law that limits the number of patients a nurse can be assigned. So your nurse could be taking care of two patients, could be taking care of eight. There's also no limit on the number of hours, so your nurse could be in the middle or end of an 18-hour shift. So those are things that translate to a lot of danger for patients. And nurses, first and foremost, want to be able to go to work, take care of their patients, protect them from harm. And when that's not possible because of these unrealistic situations, nurses aren't going to stay and aren't going to work in hospitals. Nurses aren't going to want to keep doing that.
I think most of the public might be surprised to realize that there is no legal limit on how many hours a nurse can work. My understanding is there are limits on residents and interns, for example, on physicians. There's been a look at how many hours they're being. I think most people aren't aware that there's no limit.
And there are limits for truck drivers, for airline pilots, for people who have other people's lives in their hands. And that certainly should be the case for nurses. No one wants to have their loved one taken care of by a nurse who's been on her feet for 18 hours. And nurses don't want to have to do that either.
You've said that hospitals are artificially contributing to this problem of staffing. Do we have any idea what percentage of hospitals in Michigan are doing this?
We don't know because hospitals aren't required to report that information. And that's something that we're trying to correct through public policy is simple transparency, requiring hospitals to share what their nurse-to-patient ratios are. The reason that we think the public should know that is because outcomes are so closely tied to how much time your nurse has with you in the hospital.
Outcomes meaning?
Specifically, there's a whole range of bad things that can happen when your nurse doesn't have enough time to take care of each patient.
Such as?
So, for example, let's say you're in a medical surgical unit, you're recovering from surgery. We know that a safe number would be 4 patients per nurse. We know that from research, best practice, and frankly, the experiences of nurses every day. So once you go over that 4 patient limit, you're going to see an increase in preventable outcomes that are negative, like infections, pneumonia, medical errors, and even death, unfortunately. So we have a lot of data that shows that we have a patient safety epidemic in our hospitals, much of which can be prevented in good part by making sure that there are enough nurses working at any given time.
So if ideal ratio is 4 patients per nurse, and we're using this term of understaffing, what might be a typical understaffed situation, what might that ratio look like?
We hear a huge range. You know, it could be 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So you can imagine the time that is available for a nurse to actually spend time with you, both monitoring you, keeping an eye out for situations as they develop, and being able to prevent negative things from happening, as well as teaching you and your family what you need to know when you go home.
And you say there are these negative things that can happen. Do we know exact numbers of, you know, patient falls or readmissions or even deaths that result because of understaffing?
What we have is 20 years of independent research that shows a variety of numbers. We did a study asking registered nurses in Michigan their experience, and one of the most alarming findings was that 22% of registered nurses knew of a situation in which understaffing resulted in the death of a patient. We also have had legislators share stories with us about their loved ones being in the hospital and having negative things happen because, again, this understaffing and mandatory overtime take place. And those aren't things that just happen. Those are things that are sort of the way that things go regularly in hospitals now. It doesn't have to be like this.
And the law doesn't require hospitals to disclose numbers with this as well.
That's correct.
Okay.
So you have no way of knowing, you know, let's say you're going to have a serious cardiac surgery. You know you're going to have ICU. In one part of the state, you know you're going to go into an ICU where that hospital has a 1-to-1 ratio. Your nurse will have time to take care of you and keep you alive. In another part of the state, we know that that ICU, each nurse has 3 patients. So your chances of survival literally could depend on where you live and where you go. And that's not fair.
All right. So to make sure that we're clear in what you're telling us, You're painting a picture of many hospitals leaning too hard on their nursing staff in terms of understaffing and excessive overtime. So, Dawn, what happens if a nurse goes up the chain of command at the hospital to raise these concerns?
It varies, but most often what we hear from nurses is they're told, just do the best you can. And that is a reason that these problems don't get solved. Your nurse is your advocate, first and foremost. So unfortunately, nurses don't generally have a lot of protection and power when it comes to patient care. The best way to have a guaranteed voice in patient care is to be a member of a union. But less than 80% of nurses in Michigan are in unions. So short of that and short of a law, there's no way that nurses have enough power to say, this situation needs to be fixed right now. This situation needs to be prevented ongoing, and we have to make sure that every hospital is safe.
So it's clear from what you're saying, one of the cures for this would be hospitals hiring enough full-time nurses. Is not doing that a function of a hospital's financial position, or do financially strong hospitals do this too?
We see it across the board, and you know, some hospitals are better than others, mm-hmm. but what we're seeing is the priority for the C-suite is profits. Their bottom line is numbers. And so when they're looking at those numbers, they give orders about what numbers have to be met. And those are just generally out of touch with what actually needs to happen. So there's not a valid reason for this to happen. Now, even without financial considerations, what we see is just a lack of priority, that patient care, which is really nursing care, comes last when it talks about investing in it or protecting nurses from cuts, things like that.
I'm talking with Dawn Kettinger with the Michigan Nurses Association. Something else, another factor in this discussion that we hear in Michigan about this, and I'm going to use air quotes here, nursing shortage, it's the question about training, and that's the two-year associate's degree versus the four-year bachelor's degree. First off, what are the differences between these degrees? I guess I'm wondering, what does the nurse with the four-year degree have that the nurse who did the two-year degree program doesn't have?
It's a good question because a lot of people don't realize that to become a registered nurse in Michigan, you need a degree, you need to pass a very difficult national exam, and you need to go through the licensing process in Michigan. Now, when I say you need a degree, that can be a two-year degree from a community college or a four-year degree. In both those cases, you have the same core competencies that are reached through clinical and classroom training. So that will make you able to be a direct care nurse. In fact, half of the nurses in Michigan working right now are two-year nurses. The bachelor's degree, if people want to go that route, that's a fine option. What you'll get is additional courses a well-rounded liberal arts education would give you, more classes on research, leadership, policy. So what you'll hear from most nurses is, if you want to get a BSN, that's great, but let's not lie about the fact that an associate degree nurse is ready and able to provide excellent care.
And what's happening with hospitals and the nurses with the two-year program?
Hospitals are creating this barrier of requiring nurses to have bachelor's degrees more and more. We see that as a very unnecessary and unfortunate thing for a couple of reasons. Number one, we have a huge segment of the nursing workforce that is ready and able to provide patient care at the bedside. In fact, we have community colleges who continue to produce great nurses, but they aren't hired. You know, one of the legislators I work with closely said, I don't want to hear from hospitals about a shortage when my community college is producing excellent graduates and you won't hire them. And then also, they will often make associate degree nurses, even with 20 years experience, go back and get their bachelor's degree, which is just to check a box so that the hospital can say that for marketing purposes. The other real effect that this has for people like you and me and every patient, instead of arguing about whether there's going to be a BSN nurse or an ADN nurse, there's not going to be any nurse there. That's the real issue. What we have to figure out is how do we have enough qualified registered nurses at the bedside so that each nurse can take care of patients properly and protect them from harm.
Now, the Michigan Nurses Association is vigorously supporting a package of bills that are called the Safe Patient Care Act. What would they do?
They do three things that would really go a long way toward protecting patients. The first aspect would require safe limits on nurse-to-patient ratios. So in other words, that 4-to-1 ratio that I talked about, it would make sure that in every hospital per unit, those ratios are being met all the time. The other thing it would do is put limits on mandatory overtime. And we understand that overtime happens in a hospital. The problem is that overtime is being used as a staffing strategy too often. Hospitals would just operate with bare bones staffing. And then if they need people, they'll just make their nurses stay. Too often, you know, nurses are already working a 12-hour shift. You go to 14, 16, 18, you're essentially intoxicated in terms of the effect on your body. And nurses do not have the legal right to say no to that. So that second piece would just say, nurses have the right to say no when it's unsafe. And it would say also that you have to give them 8 hours off in between shifts just to get some decent sleep.
Back to the truck driver allegory.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. In fact, one of the Senate sponsors of that bill is a truck driver, Senator Casperson. And he was shocked to know that he, as a truck driver, had limits, but nurses don't. So once the public knows, they're very supportive of that. And the third piece is transparency, just to start to say, hospitals, you need to tell the public what kind of staffing numbers there are.
And this is a bipartisan effort?
Absolutely. Half of the bills are sponsored by Republicans, half by Democrats. Almost a third of legislators overall put their names on it. And we're seeing a lot of movement in that area because legislators are realizing that this is a public safety issue and that government has a role to play in making sure the public is safe.
So where is the Safe Patient Care Act right now in the legislature?
The three bills got a hearing in the House Health Policy Committee in November, which was a great step. That's more than we've achieved in past years because, again, of this bipartisan momentum. And now we will continue to work to get another hearing and a vote on those.
Now, there are those who are going to say more government regulation shouldn't be the answer to problems with businesses. In this case, we're talking hospitals. How do you respond to that?
Hospitals don't fit into the mode of a typical business. We all are going to need a hospital at some point. Taxpayer dollars support hospitals in large part, and we're all at risk of being hurt or dying in the hospital. So that is a tough one to get over, but once you have conversations with people, they can see that this isn't an HR situation. This isn't a private industry situation. It affects all of us, and there's a role to play for government to keep the public safe.
Don Kettinger, Government Affairs Director with the Michigan Nurses Association, talking to us about the Safe Patient Care Act. Thanks so much for being with us, Don.
Thanks for having me.
We turn now to RN Katie Scott, who provides bedside care at a leading hospital. Good to have you with us, Katie.
Thanks, Cynthia.
How many years have you been an RN?
I have been an RN for almost 10 years, went back to nursing school as a second degree.
What spoke to you about this profession?
I feel like it's probably something I should have been doing from the very beginning because I really enjoy taking care of people. I really enjoy advocating for people. That's a big part of what I do at the bedside is advocate for people, especially since I work in critical care. And many of those patients aren't in a position to advocate for themselves. So being able to speak up and make sure that what is right for them is being done and that I'm always there standing guard for them.
All right. So you're here to kind of give us the on-the-ground sense of this problem. In your 10 years as a nurse, how have you experienced, what have you seen in terms of this understaffing problem?
It's pretty clear that it is a way hospitals are staffing as a matter of course. And it is frustrating in a situation where you know the staffing isn't what it should be and calling people who are up the chain of command and being told to just do the best that we can, as if we weren't doing the best that we can beforehand. We're always doing the best we can, but sometimes we just need more hands on deck. You know, as a critical care nurse, it's really important that I'm at that bedside all the time, sometimes even walking away from my patient to go to the med room to get more medication is enough time away from the bedside that something can happen. As a result, where I work now, we don't walk away without asking somebody to watch our patient while we just go to the bathroom. So when you don't have staff enough to make sure eyes can be on the patient, it's a pretty frustrating way to work in your profession.
In terms of this overtime, what might that look like in your experience?
With mandated overtime, I know I have talked to nurses who that is just the way they were staffed. So knowing that they are scheduled for an 8-hour shift on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but every day they're going to get scheduled an additional 8 hours. So suddenly they're doing 16-hour shifts 4 days in a row, and they have no say over whether or not they can do that. They cannot say no. The hospital has told them this is part of your job, and you have to stay and do that work.
You come in on Monday thinking you're going to be going home in 8 hours. And then during the day, you get told, guess what? You're staying another eight.
You're staying another eight.
And you're still expected back at the same time the next day.
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about patient care, because you testified at a committee hearing at the state capitol last fall and talked about something that happened at a hospital, not the one where you work now.
That's right.
But tell us how this has affected patient care.
This particular story I talked about didn't happen at the hospital where I work now, but it was a day where my colleague was taking care of two patients. one of those patients wanted to get up and use the bedside commode. She didn't want to use the bedpan because the bedpan, she thought, didn't have dignity. So my colleague got her up to the side of the bed, was called away for an emergency in her next room, asked that patient not to move from the bedside till she came back. Unfortunately, that patient couldn't wait. She got up on her own. And the next thing I know, I heard my colleague calling for help from that room. We ended up doing CPR on the floor in that room where the patient had fallen. I can remember the room flooding with people and the intensity of that situation. We weren't able to resuscitate that patient, and ultimately she died. And one of the worst things I remember about that is that she had her daughter and grandson with her in the room. They left when she thought she had to use the bathroom. And when they came back thinking that their mom and grandmother had just gotten up to use the bathroom, she was gone. And I feel like I will forever have the face of that six-year-old boy burned in my memory, thinking, you know, if we had had the appropriate staffing in this situation, that is something that didn't need to happen.
Just to play devil's advocate a little bit, with that ideal staffing, 4 patients per nurse, could that not have happened even with that ideal staffing level? Or?
So that staffing level is a staffing level for a med-surg unit where patients are what we'd say walkie-talkie, can walk around by themselves, can talk by themselves. And I work in the ICU, and the ideal staffing in the ICU is 1-to-1.
And this was not that case.
Definitely not.
Is there any way for me as a patient or my family members to know whether my nurse is being stretched too thin? You know, when you come in and write your name on the whiteboard in my room and say, hi, I'm Katie and I'm going to be your nurse. Is there any way for me to know how many patients you're responsible for?
No, there's no good way right now for you to know that. That's why one of the pieces of this bill that Dawn had talked about, that transparency, would be really helpful, because then you can look at the hospital around you, see how many patients your nurse is expected to take care of. It will give you a better sense of what's going on there.
Katie, there's a lot of conversation in Michigan about teacher burnout and people just, even young teachers, feeling like, you know what, I can't keep doing this. Are you seeing this in your profession?
I am seeing this in my profession. There are a large number of nurses who work 1 year and then decide they have to leave the bedside because it's too much. The expectations of what we have to do are being added on to every day. And they thought they were getting into nursing to be able to care for somebody, you know, when they're in this intensely vulnerable situation, and then they're being stretched so thin they're not able to do that. The amount of hours that nurses have to work become untenable for them. The injuries that we sustain because of the work that we're forced to do for longer and longer hours with less and less help. Definitely burnout is something that happens, and it's unfortunate because we need those nurses at the bedside.
What do you want the people listening to our conversation now? People could wind up at any time in the hospital needing a nurse's care. What do you want us all to understand about the Safe Patient Care Act?
I want them to understand that we want this Safe Patient Care Act not to protect ourselves as nurses. We want the Safe Patient Care Act to protect them as patients. And that's ultimately the most important thing. Because as I said in the beginning, I love advocating for my patients. So the Safe Patient Care Act is just another way to advocate for our patients. It's about wanting to keep them and their family members, their moms and dads and sons and daughters themselves safe when they're in the hospital.
Katie Scott is a critical care RN. Pleasure to talk with you, Katie. Thank you so very much.
Thanks for having me, Cynthia.
And we have reached out to the Michigan Health and Hospital Association. That organization opposes mandated legislation, and we have offered them an interview on Stateside as well.